Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
My favorite cartoon characters are Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin is a six-year-old boy, and he has a stuffed tiger named Hobbes who comes to life in his imaginary world. And one of Calvin's favorite things to imagine is himself as Stupendous Man, because Stupendous Man can overcome any obstacles, any problems, any struggles that a six-year-old might encounter. Stupendous Man can take care of school so he doesn't have to go. Stupendous Man can deal with his arch enemy, Susie, a girl. Stupendous Man gives him great courage. But at night, when everything is dark and it's quiet, and he's lying in his bed because he can't fall asleep, Stupendous Man is not enough to overcome the monsters that appear, the monsters that cause Calvin to fear. And in using these monsters, Bill Watterson, the author of Calvin and Hobbes, identifies for us, I think many adult readers of Calvin and Hobbes, something that we remember from our own childhood, those times when monsters appeared and we were afraid. And of course, as we have grown older, we perhaps have left behind some of our childhood fears and monsters, only to have them replaced by other kinds of monsters that produce a different kinds of fear. In the dark moments of our own lives, these monsters come forth with their messages, messages that intimidate us, messages that cause us fear and anxiety. Do you think he still loves you? Are you sure that your retirement income is going to be enough? That tumor that the doctor found, you're going to learn tomorrow whether or not it's malignant. What will happen if it is? What about the war in Ukraine? What if that escalates and just gets worse and they start using some of those terrible weapons that they have? The monsters are there in our lives, and we all experience their messages. Young Timothy was a man who had traveled with the Apostle Paul on many of Paul's missionary journeys. But when we meet Timothy this morning, he has been appointed by Paul to be the pastor of the Christian church in the town of Ephesus. And we find that Paul is struggling in that appointment. Now, Paul has been imprisoned in Rome, and so he's unable to come and visit Timothy to encourage him and to lift him up and to help him in his struggle, so he is left writing letters to Timothy. Last week, we finished what we call 1 Timothy, and today we are moving into 2 Timothy. In chapter 1, we're going to see how Paul will seek to continue to encourage and to lift up Timothy as Timothy deals with the monsters that he is facing in his life and ministry. So again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're looking at verses 5 through 8, and these verses are printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along as I read. And Paul says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for Him. Are you struggling in your faith this morning? Are you afraid of what is going on in the world and wondering why God doesn't seem to be taking care of things, at least in a way that you feel that He should? Do you find yourself intimidated by the loud and brash voices of our culture, which reject the truth of God in favor of their own version of the truth? Do you find yourself ashamed to call yourself a Christian because you worry about the reaction that such a declaration would bring about? If these kind of struggles of faith or others that you may be experiencing right now are a part of your experience, then know this, that you are in good company. Because ever since Jesus Christ walked this earth, His followers have been experiencing those very same kinds of struggles in their faith. There's a long line of Christians going all the way back to the first disciples who have questions for God, who experience doubt in their lives, who struggle with the way in which the world opposes them. So the question for us this morning is not whether we at times struggle in our faith, whether we experience fear and timidity and shame, because I think along with Timothy, we can all say, I've been there. In fact, I may in some ways be finding myself there today. No, the question is not whether that is part of the reality of the Christian life. The question for us, the important issue for us today is this: so what are we going to do about it? Where are we going to go with that fear and that timidity and that shame that we experience at times in our lives? How are we going to keep living in this world that truthfully is really the instigator of those kind of fears and struggles that we have? But Paul says to Timothy, as he's dealing with his monsters, is the same thing that the Spirit says to us today through Timothy, through the Word, inspired by that Spirit. The Spirit says to you and me today, the way to deal with the struggles that we experience is to fan into flame His gift, the Spirit's gift that lives within each one of us who by faith have declared that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. In making that declaration and in being received into fellowship with our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of His Son, by the rebirth of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is given to each one of us. And along with that Spirit, Paul says, comes a power and a love and a self-discipline. Those things that God gives us by His Spirit to deal with and indeed to overcome the results of fear and timidity and shame. It is interesting to me in reading this passage, and indeed I took a quick look through 1 Timothy, where we've been the last several weeks, and again into 2 Timothy as we move forward. And it interests me that Paul does not take time to spell out the monsters in Timothy's life. He says to Timothy, don't be afraid, don't be timid, don't be ashamed, but he doesn't spell out all the ways in which he is fearful and timid and ashamed. He doesn't give a laundry list of all of Timothy's shortcomings. And I think Paul is very intentional about that, not just in these few verses, but really throughout the two letters. He's not shaking a metaphorical finger at Timothy from prison and saying, these are all the things you're doing wrong, Timothy, you better go fix them. Instead, he's saying, Timothy, I know you're struggling, but let me remind you of something critical. And this is more important than identifying your struggles. It is identifying the truth or the reality of that which resides within you that will overcome that fear and that timidity and that shame. Paul says, I am reminded of your faith, Timothy. I remember your mom and your grandmother. I remember how their faith was passed on to you and from your childhood. This faith has been a part of your life. I remember that, Timothy. And I can almost read the parentheses. It's not in there, but do you, Timothy, remember that faith? And then Paul says, just to reassure Timothy, he says, and I know that faith is still strong in you. Oh yes, Timothy, there are places you're struggling. Oh yes, there are places where some of that fear and timidity and shame has caused you perhaps to do and say things that you shouldn't. And I'm not going to take time to enumerate them here. Because what is more important is this, Timothy, that faith is still strong in you. And that faith that is strong in you will be used by the Holy Spirit together with the gifts that He has for you, the gifts of power and of love and of self-discipline. And that's what the Spirit has to give you to keep you going in the midst of a hard and difficult assignment there in Ephesus. That is what the Spirit has to lift you up as you feel like you're being pounded down by these things that are going on in your life and ministry and in the world around you. He has given you, Timothy, a spirit of power. And the power that the Spirit gives Timothy and the Spirit gives you and me is not kind of an intimidating or overcoming power in the sense that we get to go out and beat down all the things or all the people that are bothering us. It's not a power that we are able to exercise in a way where we, out of just kind of brute strength, go out and dominate everything and everybody. That's not the power of the Spirit. God has that power, and there will come a day, Scripture is clear, when everything will come under His full and complete control, and Jesus Christ, Scripture says, will be all in all, meaning He will be completely in charge. But in the meantime, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are to walk as Christ walked. He did not walk in power in terms of crushing down His opponents. He walked in humility. He walked in sacrifice. He walked in a way that said to the world that the power that is within me, the Spirit that is within me, is the kind of power that is exercised in love and exercised in a self-discipline or a self-control that does not seek to dominate other people and seek to push down other people or seek to exercise some kind of control. But it is the kind of power that allows me, Jesus said, and allows my followers to continue the path upon which we have begun. See, the power that the Holy Spirit is within each one of us, the kind of power that Paul is talking about to Timothy and to us today through the Word of God, is a power to continue in the Christian life, in the midst of our struggles and difficulties. In physics, there is a definition of power that essentially says that power is the energy to move an object a certain distance over a particular period of time. Power is that energy that can take and move something. It can do work. Work is another term often used in physics that's somewhat similar. That work is being done. Movement is happening. Something is being moved from one place to another. And using that kind of understanding from physics of power in a scientific sense and using metaphorically in the spiritual sense, we can say that the power of the Holy Spirit is God's energy living within each one of us, enabling us to keep moving over against that which resists movement. See, that's why energy is needed to be applied for anything to move. If you don't apply some energy, it'll just sit there like the proverbial lump on a log. It will not move. You need some power to move it. And if you want to move it over a certain distance, over a particular period of time, well, then you have the formula that is used in physics. And it's in the spiritual sense, in your life and in my life, it is so easy to allow what the world is doing and what the monsters are saying to us and the fear and the timidity and the shame that they produce just to kind of keep us immobile, just to kind of, like, we just kind of huddle fearfully in our own little place. But the Spirit is there to say, I want you to move in God's direction. I want you to move according to the path that He has laid out before you. I want you to be able to move. And you say, but it's so hard to move. But I will give you the energy. I will give you the power to do that. All you need to ask, all you need to believe is that it's within you. And in that power, you will be able to overcome the inertia of the struggles and the difficulties that are bogging you down in your faith and causing you to say, oh, I just don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I really want to do this. It is so hard to be a Christian in the world today. And on and on and on. And all those monster voices just kind of keep us stuck. Energy, the power of the Spirit. And as He moves us forward, He is transforming us also that we may love. Spirit of power and love and self-discipline are the three things that Paul identifies. The Holy Spirit gives us, He transforms us into people who are loving God and loving others in a more transformative way. See, love, like power, is a movement word. It's an action word. See, love is not just something you feel. From the Christian perspective, it is something you do, and in order to do something, you have to move. You have to move your love somewhere. You have to apply it in your relationship with God and relationship with others. And so the Christian who huddles in his or her fear is not a Christian who's going to be out loving and caring for people, looking out for the needs of others, because he or she is so worried about his or her own needs and difficulties and struggles. Let's not talk about all the monsters, Paul says. They're there. I identify them. I know what they're doing to you. But let's talk about your faith, and let's talk about that Holy Spirit that God has given. Are you using the energy, the power of the Spirit? Are you letting your love be transformed? Are you making a movement in your Christian life in the direction that God has for you? And then Paul also adds that idea of self-control or self-discipline. See, when we get so focused on the monster voices, it's because we become too self-centered. I'm spending just too much time focusing on all the bad things, all the wrong things, all the hard things, all the difficult things. And God isn't saying to us, kind of live a Pollyannish life and as if they don't exist. Of course they exist. They're real. They led to Jesus' crucifixion in His life. They're very real. They're very powerful. They're very dangerous. But greater is He who is in you, Jesus says, than he who is in the world, speaking of Satan and all that Satan is about in the world. We will not allow that fear to overcome us if we take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. So use some self-control. Use some self-discipline in how you deal with the issues of your life and what is going on in the world around you. And in that self-control, turn to the Holy Spirit and prayerfully say, Holy Spirit, give me energy so I can move. Give me love so that I can apply my faith in the way I treat other people, in the way that I worship and praise God. Help me not to focus so much on everything that I see that is so hard and so difficult. It's there and it's real, but You're here to help me through it. And I need that help today. The monsters want to give us messages of fear so we will stop following Jesus Christ. They want to intimidate us to turning our back on our Christian faith. They want to shame us into saying, who? Jesus? I don't know who you're talking about. That's what the monsters want to do. But the power and the love and the self-discipline in our life will help to keep us moving, will help us to move beyond those messages, and we listen again with the eyes, with the ears of faith, and look with the eyes of faith. And we go where the Spirit is directing us and guiding us and leading us and energizing us, that we may continue moving in faith. Several years ago, there was an elite women's 3,000-meter race. Some of the best women distance runners in the world were at this meet. And about two-thirds through the race, one woman had taken a very large lead over the rest of the pack. And indeed, it looked like that there was little chance that she wouldn't win the race. But then one of the women in the pack started running harder, really pumping her arms, and she started catching up. And there were a lot of people in the stands. This was a very well-known race, and they started cheering. This was getting exciting. It was kind of boring for a while because that one woman was so far ahead, but now it was getting excited. And slowly, as the race went on, that lady began to catch up. And the crowd is roaring, and people are cheering, and then it happens. She passes the woman that had been so far in the lead. And she gains about 10-meter lead on her when she comes to the 200-meter mark. There's 200 meters left, half a lap left in the race, and she comes to that line and she stops because she thinks the race is over. She believes that the race is done, that she's come to the finish line. She thinks she has won the race. And it is not until the whole pack continues to run past her that she realizes what she had done. But it's too late. And she didn't get back in the race because there was really no use by then. See, the monsters want us to stop in the race that God has laid before us. It's one of the images that Paul uses of an athlete who is running a course. And he says we need to keep going until we reach the finish line. And who determines the finish line? God. It is really our entire life. God says there will come a day when I will call you home and your race will be over. There will come a day where there will be no more fear, no more intimidation, no more shame. There will come a day when the struggles are over. There will come a day that the world that you get to live in will be my world, says God, where all will be as I originally intended it to be. But until then, I need you to keep running the race. and the monsters say, hey, aren't you getting tired? Isn't it time to slow down? Are you sure you really want to keep going? Do you want to put up with all the elbows of all the people running with you? Do you want to deal with all the hassles and struggles? Don't you realize that the best way to deal with the fear and the timidity and the shame that you're experiencing is simply to quit the race? Take a break. You've done pretty good. I'm sure there's enough good there that when judgment comes, God will say, well, you ran a pretty good three-quarters race, and yeah, okay, you're fine. Now, Paul is not saying, and Scripture is not saying, how well we win our race, how well we run our race determines whether we go to heaven. Whether or not you go to heaven happened before you even started the race. So we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about living the Christian life. And not allowing the things that happen in us and around us to cause us to quit prematurely, to stop and say, I've had enough, to say, this is just too hard. I just don't want to deal with the fear anymore. I'm just too intimidated. I just sense too much shame. And instead of reaching out to the Spirit, which is given to us to deal with exactly this issue, so many Christians give up and just say, I'm done. May that not be true of us. May we continue to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, who says to us, in this world you will have trouble, but do not be afraid, for I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your Apostle Paul. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom that he had learned, and it took many, many years for him to come to this mature place in faith where he was able to write letters like this to Timothy, letters that he wrote from prison. Later in this letter of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, he will state really very directly that he's pretty sure that his end of his life is right before him. He did not believe that he was going to leave prison alive. And we don't know whether or not that was true, but certainly we know that we never heard again from Paul. And so Paul knew his situation. He knew the reality of what he spoke. He had dealt with the same fear and intimidation and shame that Timothy was dealing with when he, Paul, earlier in his ministry, struggled in many ways. At no time did Paul assert that he himself, in himself, had risen above all these things just out of his own strength. But he said, the Spirit who lives in me, Timothy, is the one through whom I have received power to keep going, the one who has taught me how to love in a transformative way, the one that has helped me to discipline myself, to control myself, to train myself, as he speaks to Timothy of in his first letter, to train myself so that with the Spirit's power and his transformative love, that I may be the person that God is calling me to be. And I will not allow anything or anyone to stand in the way, no matter how hard they try. Because in the Spirit, I will overcome. So Heavenly Father, may we today know that power of the Spirit, that energy that keeps us going in the midst of the struggles of this life. And if anyone here today is thinking about giving up, if anyone is growing tired, or even perhaps already has stepped aside and let everybody else run on, may we recognize, Lord, that perhaps in our own strength and ability, there's every excuse not to keep going. But with you living within us, if we truly, by faith, have accepted you, that faith is still there. Even if it's small as a mustard seed, Jesus said, it can move mountains. And that's not because of the faith, that's because of the one in whom we have faith, who is able to do exceedingly beyond anything we can think or imagine. So if it's hard for us today to imagine continuing the race, to race strong, to race joyfully, to race with courage, help us, Lord, to recognize even that small faith within us and allow it to turn us to you and to seek from you the power and the love and the self-discipline to keep going, we pray. In Jesus' name.